In the name of Jesus, who is the heart of the gospel, your fellow redeemed. Tell me, have you ever thought about what you might consider to be your core values? Things that you hold dear. Maybe it's your family, or your faith, or your personal integrity. Maybe it's a particular principle you try to live your life by. Make the most of every opportunity. Seize the day. Do unto others as you'd have them do to you. Or maybe it's something that you feel really passionate about. You're absolutely convinced that essential oils are essential. Or you're convinced that the Packers are going to the Super Bowl. If we're honest, we recognize we all have beliefs that somehow impact how we think and what we do. And nowhere is that more evident than in the life of the Apostle Paul. You realize that there was a time when Paul, who was then called Saul, had some pretty strongly held beliefs. He believed that the Christian faith was from the devil, and it needed to be stamped out at all costs. And those beliefs impacted his behavior, right? He went door to door, hauling people out of their homes and throwing them in prison. And then Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus as the resurrected Lord, who had lived and died and rose again to rescue Saul, this persecutor of the church. You might say that Jesus revealed to Saul the gospel, the good news of God's love for a sinner like Saul. And that gospel then had an impact on Saul's heart. It changed him. Saul saw the gospel as more than just some information, but rather it was something that changed him from the inside out. It changed his attitude. It gave him a purpose to his life. It gave him the ability to bear up under trials and tribulations. It's what allowed him to say what he says here in our text, which serves as our theme for today. Those four words, this is my gospel. Today we want to think a little bit about what those words mean, what they don't mean, and how that gospel that Paul believed and shared still impacts our hearts and lives today. Our text for today is a portion of a letter that the elder St. Paul wrote to his younger son in the faith, Timothy. If you weren't here last week to hear our pastor Timothy preach about his namesake, you ought to go back and listen to his sermon online, because it was a great introduction to this letter. But the theme that we have for today really comes from our text this morning, where Paul says to that Timothy, this is my gospel. The question is, what does that mean? This is my gospel. Is he saying, Timothy, it's mine. You can't have it. Like, kind of like we do with that last piece of apple pie. This is mine. You got to find your own dessert. No, that would not be consistent with anything else Paul says. Paul talks about how important it is to share the gospel. He once wrote to the Corinthians, I'm compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. So then what does he mean by this is my gospel? Well, there's a couple ways to understand those words. On the one hand, Paul is reminding Timothy that the gospel that he preached was different from the popular preaching of his day. In Paul's day, there were a lot of false teachers who were proclaiming myths and heresies like worship angels or don't get married, or maybe the worst of them all, especially for the Jewish Christians, that if you wanted to be right with God, you had to keep the Old Testament laws like circumcision. Those people were called the Judaizers. And so Paul had to again and again in his letters basically say, that's not my gospel. My gospel is about Jesus, is about God's grace to sinners. It's not like that man-made stuff that says you got to earn your way to heaven. In fact, Paul in his letter to the Galatians kind of balls them out for buying into that so-called gospel. He writes, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. You see, when Paul uses that term, my gospel, he's drawing a distinction. He's saying that his gospel is not man-made. His gospel has come directly from Jesus. That's what he writes. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel that I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. But not only was Paul's gospel something he received directly from Jesus, it was also a gospel that was all about Jesus. In fact, as he writes to Timothy here, he makes that point. He says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. In other words, Paul's gospel was all about Jesus from beginning to end. Jesus, the one who was descended from David. In other words, the true man came from the line of David in fulfillment of Old Testament scripture. Born as a man so he could live under the law in place of every human being. And so then he could offer that life on the cross so that once that bill was paid, the Father would what? Raise him from the dead. This was the Father's way of announcing that he had accepted Jesus' payment for the sins of the world. And it set mankind free from the fear of death forever. That's the gospel. The good news. It's what the Apostle Paul preached. It was all about Jesus. In fact, isn't that what Paul says to the Corinthians? I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You might say that Paul's gospel was really Christ's gospel. It was the good news about Jesus. But now there's another way to take his words, this is my gospel. With those words, Paul is not just talking about the content of his gospel, namely the life and death of Jesus Christ. He was also talking about the impact that gospel had had on his heart. See, Paul saw the gospel as more than just some historic facts, but rather it was something that had changed something in Paul. When Paul says, this is my gospel, he means, and I believe it. This gospel, this good news of God's love for sinners in Christ has become my core value. And this gospel, that my belief system has now impacted how I think. It's impacted what I do. In fact, it's impacted what other people do to me. Isn't that right? You realize where Paul is when he's writing these words. He's in prison. Why? For preaching the gospel. He puts it this way. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. The gospel had brought suffering into the life of Paul. But it also had given him the ability to bear up under that suffering, willingly, patiently. Why? because he realized that even though he was in chains, the gospel wasn't. Paul writes, "But God's word is not chained." In other words, nobody can completely restrict the proclamation of the gospel. God is going to get his word done through the gospel. Isn't that what God told us through the prophet Isaiah? "As the rain and the sun and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Just like the rain, God's word has the power to soften hard hearts, to work faith in those hearts, to rescue people from self-deception and from the pit of sin and shame. The Apostle Paul knew that because that's what the gospel had done for him. He had experienced that, and now he wanted to do everything possible to let as many people know as possible what the gospel was all about. That's why he says, "Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect." In other words, for the sake of those who will someday believe the gospel, believe Jesus as Savior, "that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." You see, the gospel made a difference in Paul's heart. It gave him a purpose to his life. Share the gospel. It gave him the ability to bear up under the trials he would face by those who rejected the gospel. It gave him a perspective that was accurate. He could say, "I'm the chief of sinners," but also say, "I'm a redeemed child of God." It gave him an accurate view of God himself, that a God who demands perfection, but a God who also gives perfection to us as a free gift in Jesus. The gospel allowed Paul to see his future, that when he breathed his last, he would be with Jesus, not because of what he'd done, but because of what Jesus had done. You might say the gospel had given Paul the ability to know who he was, where he was going, and why. You realize the same thing is still true for you and me today. In his mercy, God has given us the gospel in word and sacrament. In his word, he gives us this record, this historic record of our salvation, wrapped up in Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And yet the gospel is more than just those historic facts. It's also the very tool that God uses to plant that in our hearts so that we believe it. The gospel leads us to turn from "Jesus died for everybody" to "Jesus died for me." In the end, the gospel is always personal. It's what turns John's gospel or Paul's gospel into my gospel and your gospel. It's that gospel that God has planted in your heart that now changes the way you and I think. Isn't that right? I mean, sometimes it's easy to kind of take for granted the gospel's impact on our hearts and lives. I mean, as I think about people in this world, people who don't have a clue what's going to happen to them when they die, people have no idea how God feels about them, people who are scared to death of death, people who think religion is some kind of burden. And then I realize how the gospel has changed my thinking. I don't have to wonder how God feels about me, because he proved his love for me on a cross. And I don't have to be afraid to die, because Jesus, by his death and resurrection, has taken the sting out of death. My death just becomes the way that God takes my soul to heaven. And my life becomes simply a way to say thank you to God for what he's done. This is the gospel. Now, does that mean that my life will be a bed of roses? No problems at all? No. I still live in a sinful world. I still have a body infected by sin, and it's going to show. But none of those things change the gospel. The gospel declares that you and I are redeemed, bought by the blood of the Lamb. God has made us his own. He's prepared a place in heaven for us. And he promises that he's going to use everything in our lives to ultimately serve our eternal good. That's great news. That's the gospel. And God has given it to you. Believe it. Cling to it. Regard it as your greatest treasure, for then you will say with the Apostle Paul, "This is my gospel." Amen.